Okay, hello friends. Tristan here from TSZ News. I have Archie, Sonic comic writer Ian Flynn with us, and also accompanying us is a woman in a werehog costume. and we'll write up the backstory beyond that later. But first question for Ian. I spoke to Mike Pellerito at the panel earlier today. You are writing 4 comics simultaneously. Sonic, Sonic Universe, Cosmo, I hear, is getting a revival, and the new Mega Man comic. I guess, one, how do you do it? 2, can you take us through the writing process a bit?
The multiple books kind of come from a necessity to shut me up, because I have so many Sonic books that I want to write. It's like, can we, you know, have a third ongoing title, please, just so we don't have a backlog of 3 years' worth of material? And then Capcom came to us and said, hey, you want to do Mega Man? And they said, hey, you want to do Mega Man? I said, yes, let's do Mega Man. And then editor Paul Kaminsky and... I don't remember if it was Paul or if it was Mike Pellerito who wanted to get Cosmo back up and running. But either one, they came to me and said, here's Cosmo. It's this older property. It's a lot of fun, kind of like how we're doing with Treasure Team Tango that's coming up in Sonic Universe.
Yes.
Just, you know, lighthearted, fun adventure, completely off-the-wall crazy. And I said, sure, why not? Because, I mean, what could be better than an entire comic book series that's basically through the mind of Bean the Duck?
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be just delightful fun, and so yeah, I'm very happy to have a lot of material to work with. I like staying busy. I like being creative in a lot of avenues, so it's a lot of fun for me. I just get to go crazy with it.
And I'm sorry. It's been a while since I've done a Q&A. For those of us who don't know what Cosmo is, can you go a little bit in depth as to explaining the character?
Cosmo, I don't know if we're keeping the old tagline of the Merry Martian or probably something else, the Marvel Martian or blah, 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 something, Mighty Martian. Cosmo is this kind of general adventurer, nice guy who gets tied up in this scheme that will eventually lead him to exploring the solar system with his best friend, his quasi-girlfriend with kind of shades of Amy Rose in there, their wizened professor, and his best friend's dog. And they will hop around the solar system and the galaxy beyond, investigating all the bizarre and crazy stuff that Earth never found. Like the 2 races of moon people that we never saw because we looked in the wrong place. The people on Venus, the talking vegetable people of Saturn. It's really, it's kind of like Rocky and Bullwinkle while you're on a fever dream. It's fun, it's adventurous, and it involves Martians. So it's sci-fi in the loosest sense of the term.
Now, Mike Pellerito said in the panel that the Sonic Encyclopedia that was coming out has been sort of put on a hiatus. He wouldn't give a timetable of when it was released, but he did say that Sega's getting a little more involved in the project. Can you maybe explain that a little bit?
I can't go into too much detail. Mike, being president of the company, has the leeway to say that.
Yes.
Me, lowly writer, cannot. I do know that the book is coming together very nicely. I can confirm that it's absolutely gorgeous.
Mm-hmm.
And I can confirm that we are dead set on getting it out there. It's just, at this point, it's up in the air how and when. But when it does come out, everybody's going to absolutely love it.
And I wonder if you can talk a little bit about, you know, assembling the encyclopedia, because you're taking, you know, well over 15 years, now almost 20 years, of, you know, Sonic comic folklore, and all the characters made, you know, as part of that universe, past and present, and you're making, you know, a just dead set reference. I mean, that had to have taken a ton of time and a ton of effort.
The first draft probably took about a year, and that was me sitting down with my backlog, and I have an almost complete collection. Going through and just, I sat down with a pad of paper and a pencil and just wrote down facts. This year, this happened. This Sonic says this. Sonic does this in this issue. These characters refer to each other as this. This is the first issue that this is revealed in. And just compiled the giant list of notes. And then from there, it was broken down into the articles in the fashion that we had predetermined.
Mm-hmm.
And there was a little bit of shuffling after that, but really, it was just breaking it down into the basic components, what was the most factual, just so it's a dense data log, because this is going to be used for professional use as well. When I have moved on from the book, hopefully no time soon, whoever comes after me will be given this book saying, this is Sonic. And while it is very data-heavy, very factual-based, we also, I personally wanted to put a spin on it so that it didn't feel like you were just reading, you know, a spreadsheet. It has a little bit of, if anybody's seen how I write in the blog and how I write on Bumble King, that's the kind of flavor of the text you'll get in the encyclopedia. A little more formal, but that kind of canter, if you will.
If you can give a year when the encyclopedia kind of was first concocted, I mean, what year did you, I mean, did that really, that first bulb went on in your head?
I honestly don't remember when the project was put to me. It's been at least 2 years, maybe more.
All right. One of the things I've noticed in the recent comic fair is that you like to do two-parters a lot. You like to spread stories out amongst two issues. I wonder what the philosophy is behind that. Does it just give you more time to do depth? Does it give you more time to... Or does it just give you more time to tell a story, period?
It's more time to tell the story because I cram as much into it as possible. Sometimes a little too much. And having the two-part stories, I think, allows you to, you know, spread it out and get a better pacing for it. Also, it gives you more incentive to keep with the book. If you have a done-in-one issue, you can pick it up, put it down, you don't need to come back to it ever again. And we don't want that. We want you to come back and pick it up month after month after month. And while we usually will grab folks with the excellent art and the okay writing, I suppose, having multiple parts at least keeps you coming back for one more month, and then we put that tease at the end so you go, well, let's see what the next story arc does. And then you follow that one, it's like, well, okay, let's see what the next one was. And before you know it, we've had you for 3 years, and I make money.
Mega Man, that's the big thing to come out of today. Today's announcements from the Comic Con. You're going to be involved with it. I did see some concept art. It looks like Patrick Spaziante is going to be involved with it as well. Was this your idea? Was this the company's idea? I mean, it's a much different environment than, say, Sonic, which you've been involved with for years. Is it a challenge for you in any way?
Actually, from my understanding, Capcom came to us. They said, we want a Mega Man comic. We know that you've done an excellent job with Sonic. Are you interested? And we said, oh, yes. Patrick Spaziante is going to be doing the covers, from my understanding, and at least the first issue. Beyond that, I'm not sure because, again, it's brand new. It's coming out this spring. A lot of the finer details hasn't been worked out. All I know is I'm writing it at this point, and I'm letting the editors handle the rest. Challenge-wise, it's a little bit of a challenge just because I have been doing Sonic for so long, and Mega Man is a different type of hero. You have to change your mentality with it. And I'm not as versed in Sonic as I am Mega Man. I mean, Sonic, live, eat, breathe. I'm a disciple. I know way too much about the talking blue animal. Mega Man, I have more of an appreciation of because I can't play the games worth diddly squat. But there's tons of resources online. There's a lot of excellent fan communities that I can work with to check me if I, you know, do something stupid. And, of course, there's Capcom, who will always be there to watch over us. And when you boil it down, though, it really is kind of like Sonic again in that you have a family-friendly atmosphere. It's a fun, adventurous book with very clear heroes and villains. And it's fun to take a different approach to a new hero, because Sonic is, you know, he's arrogant, he talks fast, he's always on the move, and Mega Man is just a sweet little boy who happens to have, you know, a small nuclear weapon on his arm, and all he wants to do is help people. He's just a nice guy, and he doesn't want to fight, but he's forced into it due to the circumstances, and that's such a different take on it. It's refreshing, it's touching, it's moving. It's going to be wonderful. Pick it up.
And I'm wondering if you could talk a little bit about the relationship, you know, on the Sonic comics with Sega's oversight. Have they been very good in terms of giving you the creative license to really develop the story, develop the characters, things like that?
By and large, yes. I mean, they give us an extraordinary amount of freedom with their property, and it's something that we try not to abuse. And the only time we run into conflict is when we want to take it in a direction that they feel goes the wrong direction for their franchise. And in that case, we just have to say, okay, how do we do what we want to do, but in a way that makes everybody happy? I mean, there's been a couple of times where they've stepped in and said no, and it's been disappointing. But as I was telling someone else earlier at the signing we were having, every closed door and every disappointment is just a new creative opportunity. Everything that comes our way is like, all right, we can't do it that way. Let's spin it and make something better out of it. For example, we had a Knuckles arc lined up for the end of the year for Sonic Universe, and that just got flat out no. So there's story elements that we are taking from that, putting it into the regular book, and that actually opened up new opportunities for us to explore other subplots with other characters that we wouldn't have gotten a chance to do otherwise. So really, it's a blessing in disguise, and who cares about that story arc? Now we're doing this! So it's all good.
Speaking of conflict, over the summer we had the situation with Ken Penders, and I spoke to Mike Pellerito, and he said that thing was pretty much taken care of fairly quick. That is no longer an issue. Was there ever a doubt in your mind that the situation with the claiming of his characters and storylines and things like that would, was there ever a doubt in your mind that would have, that would be, that you would ultimately prevail? Or
no.
That Archie would prevail?
No doubt, ever, at all.
Short and sweet. I know you've been teasing something, I believe, for issue 225. That's going to be pretty good, and I'm wondering, can you give us any hints?
I don't want to spoil too much, because I want folks to come to the panel on Sunday. Sunday afternoon, noon to 1 o'clock. It's a whole bunch of Archie stuff, including teases for 225, the 20th anniversary of the franchise, Sonic Universe 25. But I will say that 225, you're not going to see it coming. And what it does is going to have massive ramifications for the book for literally years to come. Iron Dominion was small time compared to this. This is going to shake up the book from the core. It's going to be great.
Are we talking about adding characters, subtracting characters? No comment?
I wouldn't say adding so much as playing around with.
And just as a reminder to our readers, we will be at that panel Sunday, and we will be live blogging it, so we will be seeing Ian again. Finally, this poor woman dressed as a werehog. Ian, don't go yet if you're going now, because I just want to say, because when we were coming down for the interview, you found this werehog and you just fell in love. And so we've had this poor woman here dressed as a werehog just this entire length of the interview. So, I mean, you're hearing it live. Anyway, that's it. Now that's it. Now you can go do your things. Thank you, Ian, and we'll hopefully see you Sunday.
Thank you very much, and keep reading Sonic.
All right, that's it. We'll have more interviews as time progresses. For the moment, Tristan Oliver, TSSE News.